to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of adventure. Later on, Frank Sinatra stars as Rocky Fortune. But first, one of very few surviving broadcasts of the ABC series, The Sea Hound. This called The God of Vengeance, heard on August 26th, 1948.
The Sea Hound. On distant seas, in far-off skies, in jungle depths of other lands, you'll find adventure with Captain Silver and the Sea Hound. Between the Serpent's Mouth on the coast, where it empties into the ocean, and its source in the lush jungles of Venezuela, the Orinoco River passes through only one city of importance, Ciudad Bolívar, the city of Bolívar. The Orinoco is navigable, and so many seamen walk the streets of Bolívar, among them Captain Silver, Tex, and Kai, wending their way to the heart of town.
Where are we heading for, Captain?
The Government Hall of Progress, Tex. There's an exhibit I want to see.
Say, I heard they got a scale model of the railroad government's building that into the interior.
Yes, including little figures of the American engineers heading up the job.
Very important undertaking. If wealth of the interior can be brought out by train and machinery brought in, much improvement will be made.
I reckon everybody in town's at this here exhibit.
Yes, here we are, Captain. The sign in Spanish say, Railroad Exhibiting Gate Hall. Captain Silver, notice Gate Hall is very empty of people.
Nothing but a few folks way over yonder near that train exhibit.
Oh, I can't understand it. They've been building for 6 months now. Those progress reports on the bulletin board there should attract more people.
Perhaps citizens of Bolivar are not interested in train to interior.
No, I was here at the opening celebration.
Much excitement?
Why, the whole town turned out.
Let's have a look.
Very real, Captain Silver. Exact model of train, exact model of jungle.
Yes. You notice anything odd about the way the road is being laid so far?
Can't say as I do, Captain. Except that for 6 months, they sure ain't traveled far.
Senor?
You addressing me?
Si, senor. I hear you call this a road into the interior.
Well, that's what it is.
You are wrong. This is a road to eternity. Si, a road to eternity.
Will I be? Did you hear that, Captain?
Yes. So that's how the people of Bolivar feel. That's why
Capitan
they...
Capitan Silva! I have been looking all over for you.
Carlo Luis.
I have been searching the whole of Bolivar as soon as I heard the Sea Hound was in port.
But what is it?
Please, I cannot talk here. My office is right upstairs. Come with me. I must talk with you.
When did you first become suspicious, Carlo?
It is hard to say. As you know, there are powerful groups here who do not want this railroad.
They wish to keep the interior as private territory for themselves, eh?
Si. And of course, every time there is a delay, an accident, or trouble on the road, they try to use it to have the whole thing stopped.
Well, tell me, Carlo, do the engineers follow the blueprints of the road as laid out by the government?
No. Always they say our blueprints are impossible.
I see. Well, it sounds like someone's working against you, Carlo. But... Well, after all, how can we help you? If your own men couldn't locate anything...
Capitan Silva, please to listen to me. The engineers on this road are Americanos. They represent a big concern in your country. Always, Americanos have helped us much. But...
You suspect the Americans.
I am ashamed I have to say this. But how can I question their good faith, Capitan Silva? It might endanger relations.
You want us to look into it?
Oh, si, por favor.
Tex, Kai...
Sure enough, Captain.
Very willing to be road laborer, Captain Silver.
Why, that's an excellent idea, Kai. Carlo, that's what we'll do. The three of us will hire on as laborers. That'll give us an inside view of what's what.
Bueno. But one thing, Capitan.
What's that?
Do not say you know me. It will be better.
Oh, yes, you're right. Well, we'll take the Sea Hound as far up as we can go. The rest of the way we'll go by hand car on the track already laid.
If we're going, let's go, Captain.
Oh, gracias, Capitan Silva. You have brought me the first piece of mind I have known in many months.
Glad to be of help. But what's this?
Small statue tacked to door.
Madre mia. It is...
Carlo, what is this little figure with the tiny dagger in his hand?
It is the God of Vengeance.
Kai, you want me to relieve you on the pumping detail?
No, thank you, Captain. Always since childhood, I look forward to pumping handcar.
Well, the pleasure's all yours, Kai. Say, Captain, how about another look at old Fierce Eyes?
You mean the God of Vengeance we took off Carlo's door?
Yep.
You're certainly most curious about him, Tex. Yeah, here he is.
Mean-looking cuss, ain't he? With that little dagger in his paw?
That little dagger, Tex, is supposed to have killed many a man.
You mean there's somebody alive who looks like this?
No. This is a copy of a much larger figure. According to the legend, the God of Vengeance stands at the entrance of a native temple in this region. And all who enter, and are not supposed to, are drawn irresistibly to his dagger and are impaled on it.
Well, now, how can a statue put a dagger through somebody? Sounds like a lot of foolishness to me.
Well, I'm not worried about any God of Vengeance, Tex. What I'm concerned about is this little figure in your hand.
You ain't falling for bad luck, omens, Captain.
No. But whoever stuck it to Carlo's door must know we're being sent by Carlo.
Say, that is bad.
Hey, Tex, Captain Silver, hold on.
Something's over the track. Are you all right?
It's very cool, but do not enjoy hand car and swimming, companion.
Well, head for the nearest bank. We can't tell about alligators in this river.
Oh, man, it sure was a close shave.
Well, I guess we'll have to walk the rest of the way. Kai?
Yes?
One minute we were sailing along, and the next we were sailing through the air.
Yeah, perhaps God of Vengeance, Captain. Look overhead at trestle we fell off.
The tracks, they're spread out.
Yes, did not notice tracks ahead.
Say, I had the God of Vengeance in my hand when we went over. Now he's gone.
Perhaps very fortunate. Perhaps our luck improve.
Yes, because the legend holds that once the God of Vengeance has placed a curse on you, it'll cling to you forever. Engineer's shack ahead. None too soon, either. Looks like an electric storm is fixing to blow.
Yep. Reckon they blow up some mighty pretty storms in these parts.
Better to go inside. Engineer's shack would welcome chair to sit down in.
Are you the three men supposed to bring the hand car in?
Yes, this is Tex and Kai, and I'm Silver.
My name's Dargan, engineer in charge. What kept you so long?
Better ask your track crew that.
Now, don't tell me how to run my own road. My man hired you on as laborers. I expect you to be punctual.
Well, what Tex meant, Mr. Dargan, is that we had an accident. The tracks were spread out.
Well, the jungle heat will do that. Everything happens in this rotten climate. What do you know about building a railroad?
Oh, some. We've worked around in various places.
Well, forget anything you knew. You'll have to learn it all over again here. Want to wash up?
You could stand some sleep and grub.
You'll bunk in the barracks with the other men. Silver, you know how to read a map?
I guess so.
Okay, look here. Now, this blue line marks the track we've laid so far, up to this point.
Yes?
A mile ahead of us is this.
A mountain surrounded by bad swamplands, eh?
In the morning, we're going to lay track around that mountain.
By the way...
What is it?
Just asking, but... Well, I'm sure you've tested the rock formation inside that mountain.
What do you mean?
Well, you could save about 5 miles if the track were laid through the mountain, tunneled.
Well, now, figuring track, eh? Well, that's my job, Silver. I'm laying track around the base.
A hole hole big enough to bury an elephant in, Captain.
Well, what do you say, Kai? Deep enough?
Captain Silver.
Yes, Kai?
Please to descend into hole with me. A very interesting revelation.
Stay up here, Tex. Keep a lookout.
Yep.
Now.
Not this cross-section of surface revealed in this hole, Captain.
Oh. A layer of sand and shale, the first 3 feet or so.
Yes. And quite loose. Notice the next layer down, please.
Gravel, and then solid rock. My Kai.
Only one conclusion, Captain. Engineer Duggan does not know his work, or he is the man we are looking for.
Why, this is a perfect mountain for tunneling. He could have gone right through here and set up his...
Captain Silver, a slide! Heading our way!
Well, quick, Tex, jump down in here with us. You've got one chance of getting out alive.
Okay, Captain!
Come on, come on. You haven't all day long. Men under this rubble may still be alive. All right, hurry it up. Hold it. Now, give me a hand, one of you men. Now, easy does it. Come on, up with him.
There you are. Thanks, Duggan. I'll be all right. Get Tex and Kai. Let me give you a hand.
You lie there till you get your wind back. Here come your friends.
Oh, it's very close, Captain. Except for Mr. Duggan, we might be asleep forever in hole we ourselves dug.
Here. Lucky you was around, Mr. Duggan.
And now, Silver, after you almost did away with yourself and your friends, how come you were up here on this mountain and not down below like I ordered?
Well, I was curious about the mountain.
You were curious, huh? Well, I wouldn't be if I were you.
Right
down, Tex. It's 2 a.m. I've already wakened Kai.
Be with you in a jiffy. Where are we headed?
To Dargan's work shack.
Lion's den,
eh? Nah, he sleeps in his own hut, other side of camp.
Gonna search for a radio or something?
Come on, hurry up, Tex. We're going to check the government specifications for this railroad. The blueprints are in his work shack. If the government specifications direct him to tunnel through the mountain, we'll be on the way to a solution.
Right behind you.
This window above us. I noticed it last time we were in the shack. Give me a hand up.
Here's my hand. Up you go.
Right. Now, Tex, give Kai a hand. Then we'll haul you up.
Come on, Kai.
Watch out for this nail, Kai.
Yeah, one tall pencil, small boy. Very embarrassing.
There you are. Okay, Tex.
Haul away, Cap.
Now we'll shut this window.
Want a flashlight, Captain?
No, not yet. This moonlight will help. Seen from the outside.
You want me to hold my hat over the top of the flashlight?
That's a good idea. Now,
notice red line, Captain. This map not same as shown to you by Duggan before.
No, he had a duplicate. This one carries the seal of the government surveyor's office.
And red line passes through mountain?
Uh-huh. He's relying on his friends to kill the entire project.
Must be pretty penny for Mr. Duggan, Indy.
And I'll bet a pretty penny his own firm doesn't know what he's doing.
What? Still, ain't we got him dead to rights now, Captain? That mountain...
No, it won't hold up, Tex. He could argue his way out. We've got to find how he gets his orders and how he passes back news of delays and other...
What's up? Quick, douse your flashlight. Each one of us behind some piece of furniture.
Did you see that? It was him.
Yes, Dagen, this hour of night.
He was close to his desk when he opened that drawer, Captain. What in tarnation was that he took out?
A native costume.
You mean a grass covering and them bead sashes they wear?
Yes. I'm as puzzled as you are.
Captain, observe in moonlight. Mr. Dagen heading away from camp.
So, he's disappeared into the jungle with a native costume. Well, we're going after him. This may be what we're waiting for.
He's disappeared into the jungle like a snake.
Possible Dagen heard us, Captain, and perhaps hiding in tea this very minute.
No, we were too careful for that, Kai.
I smell a trap, Captain.
Well, there are three of us to one of him. We'll keep moving in the direction Dagen was heading. There's a chance we'll pick up his trail again.
Captain Silver, straight ahead.
What? A temple?
Yes, but notice, please, in doorway of temple, revealed by moonlight.
Well, I'll be a ring-tailed baboon. Captain Silver, it's a man, maybe 7 feet tall, and a dagger in his hand.
No, Tex, that's not a man. It's the god of vengeance, standing in the doorway of his own temple.
Close to an hour now, Captain. Just watching that statue with the dagger. You know, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't have the willies.
Yes, he's an awesome sight, isn't he? With just room enough in the doorway for a man to squeeze by him and into the temple.
Most unusual figure, Captain. Notice how dagger is held at level of man's heart.
Why don't we crawl up close and get a good gander at him, Captain?
Because I've a hunch our friend Dargan's in that temple. And I've enough experience with native legends to believe that at least some of what they say is true.
You mean that their iron statue can really run a man through if he don't belong in the temple?
Captain, you see what I see?
A native coming out right past that dagger.
It's Dagen in native dress.
But how can you fool a statue just by wearing a grass skirt?
Look, now he go back into jungle.
I'm going after him. We can't let him get away.
He's no good to us out here, Tex. Let him go.
Well, then, why did we trail him out here?
He led us to the temple. Now we know there's something inside it of extreme importance to Dagen's scheme. We're going to challenge the god of vengeance to let us through.
I have most uncomfortable feeling in vicinity of knees, Captain Silver.
All right, now. Dagen's vanished back into the jungle. We can move up closer.
Up close, don't he? Like he's got his eye on you.
Perhaps God of Vengeance operates dagger on spring, Captain. Necessary to push some button, maybe.
Tex, your flashlight.
Here you be, Captain. Don't like the point on that dagger at all.
This may be all foolish precaution. And then again, it may not. I'll run the light over the doorway.
No sign of button or spring, eh?
No. You're awful close to him, Captain.
Tex! Kai, grab hold of me, quick!
What?
I'm being drawn to... I can't pull back. Tex, pull
Kai, tight. It's dragging you right into
my waist. Pull my waist. Please put your arms around my neck.
I got it.
There.
Another moment, Captain, and
it's human. This blasted idol is human.
Those sounds. We've aroused the natives. I think we're robbing their temple. Are you and Kai into the jungle? Now hurry, head back to camp.
You, Captain Silver, what are you going to do?
I'll hide out back here. They won't find me.
But, Captain...
Do as I say. Get back to camp before the storm traps you in the jungle.
I ain't leaving you here alone.
This is an order. Get back to camp. I'm going after the god of vengeance alone.
Don't like it, Kai. Don't
like it at all.
No, almost 5 hours since we left Captain Silver in jungle.
With him thinking he could get the better of that dadgum statue.
Fortunately, storm makes it impossible for road crew to go out unless Honorable Mr. Doggan would notice absence of Captain.
Let's go back into that jungle.
Where's Silver?
He just stepped out for a while, Doggan.
In a storm like this?
Well, now I reckon that's his own business. Ain't no work today.
By the way, where were you last night when that jungle lion broke into camp?
Jungle lion?
Yeah. Didn't you hear about it? Finally cornered it and killed it.
We heard the shouting all right, Dargan. Heard the lion roar, too. Just figured the other fellas would take care of it.
Well, for your information, there was no lion in camp last night. And neither were you or your pals.
Alive?
Here, look, half drowned.
I am. Sorry to have taken this long.
Please inform us as to how you came back alive.
Not now, Kai. We've still got work to do. Tonight.
Tonight? You ain't aiming for us to go back there.
Exactly.
But Dargan was here in the barracks.
Yes, with clever ruse. He discovered we were not in camp.
Oh, so?
I think he's known all along what we're up to. And if we go back here tonight...
It can't be helped, Tex. I'm certain he plans to visit the Temple of the Avenging God again. And we'll be right behind him. This time, we're going into the temple. Hold it now. There he goes, into the temple.
Most unscientific to believe. Native costume makes it possible for Dagon to go past Dagger unarmed.
And yet it's true, Kai.
Seems to be. Almost did away with Captain Silver. And he was only taking a look at it.
Dressed as we are this time, we'll get by the God of Vengeance all right.
Hate to have anybody back home see me in this here grass get up. Captain, how much longer?
Right now. Dargan is deep within the temple by now and won't notice us at the entrance. Let's go.
God, that vengeance appears to be even more frightening tonight.
Never hoped you were right as much as I do now, Captain.
I'll go first. Then you, Kai, and Tex will follow.
Right. You got a real nerve, Captain. Kai, look at him squeeze past with that dagger just reaching for his heart.
And the Captain is inside.
Well, your turn, Kai.
Yes?
Tex, now you...
Me. Reckon it's as good a way to go as any. Here I come.
What's wrong?
It's pulling, Captain.
Kai, give me a hand.
I'm a goner.
Come on, Tex.
Tex, are you all right? You hurt in the fall?
I'll be okay, Captain. Wasn't the fall that's got me. It was that dagger creeping up on me.
Captain, I do not understand. Why did God of Vengeance choose only Tex?
Later, Kai, later. Dargan is somewhere in this temple. We've got to find out what he's up to.
Not this temple empty, except for great altar up front.
Yes, that's probably the place he'd pick for what I think he's doing. I'll keep to the walls. We'll get as close to the altar as we can.
Up with your hands, Silver.
Dargan!
So you weren't inside the altar?
No, I knew you'd look for me there. Too easy a place to be trapped in. I waited for you, Silver.
You were expecting us?
Sooner or later. You sure looked a sight, Tex, when the God of Vengeance almost ran you through.
Why, you dirty chiseler. It'd take a feller like you to laugh at something like that.
Keep your hands up in the air, Tex. Another move and I'll plug you. Tex, you've got a gun on you.
Oh, now, why'd you have to tell him that, Captain?
I told you not to bring one along.
Well, I knew something like this might happen.
And it did, Tex. Throw that gun this way, fast.
Do as he says.
All right.
Now, who sent you?
Carlo Luis.
Just what I thought. And he asked you to find the radio I used to keep in touch with the men who hired me.
You were hired by the government, Dargan, and no one else.
No law against taking two salaries, Silver. I collect from the government, and from the men who don't want the road built.
Your racket is over, Dargan.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Tex, but you're not leaving here alive. That radio hidden in the altar is too valuable to me. Now, each of you is going to put on a string of these beads.
Man, have you gone loco?
Most unusual beads, Captain. Very large and made of iron. Beginning to understand mystery of God of Vengeance.
Bright boys, aren't you? But it'll do you no good. In the morning, the natives will find all three of you dead. Victims of the God of Vengeance. Lead the parade, Silver.
I don't get it. Captain, what...
Move, Silver.
Captain Silver, you ain't gonna let...
Canada! Morgana! To the temple!
Captain Silver, you are only...
Captain? Well, I guess there won't be any torn rails in front of our handcar this time, eh, Dargan?
Yeah.
No, not with Dargan himself here tied up like little boy.
I still can't figure out what in tarnation made that God of Vengeance tick.
Oh, it's quite simple, Tex. He's made of iron, and he's been standing around in electric storms for so many years that he's gathered a terrific charge of magnetism.
Magnetism?
Ordinary, but very powerful magnetic charge.
Oh, you're just pulling my leg, you two. Now, how can magnetism attract an ordinary human being?
Not the person, but the metal objects on and in his clothing. Like the flashlight I held in my hand.
Well,
and that gun you had hidden in your grass skirt.
So that's what did it. A magnetized statue.
My perplexity concerns other matter, Captain. Arrival of natives most unexpected.
When Dargan wanted us to walk past the dagger with those iron beads on, I called my friends Caniba and Mongana.
More sudden friendship, Captain?
No, that's what kept me so late that night. After I learned the secret of the idol, I went to see the natives and told them about Dargan. They want the railroad, and so they stood by ready to help.
Captain, what are we going to do with Dargan?
Turn him over to the authorities in Bolivar.
For a nice, long stretch in Caboose.
Yes, and by the time he gets out, he'll be able to take a pleasant ride on the railroad he wanted to destroy.
Where does the Seahound go for its next adventure? To what far-off part of the world does Captain Silver take his crew on the Seahound? You'll know if you listen in Monday at this same time over the same ABC station.
The Seahound, untuned to yesterday from August 26th, 1948 on ABC. You're listening to an hour of adventure, untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Rocky Fortune, starring Frank Sinatra, with an episode called Rocket Racket, penned by George Lefferts. Probably the best writer on the team for this sort of story, as he contributed many stories to the NBC science fiction shows Dimension X and X-1. This was first heard on March 23rd, 1954.
Here's Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
With the tabloids whispering about unemployment and 24-point headlines, a guy out of work gets the feeling he should grab anything that comes along. So when the kind lady at Uncle's Employment Service hands me a pink slip for an interview, I say yes before I read it. And after I read it, I'm not so sure. Adventurous young man with no family connections, desirous of serving mankind. Exceptional opportunity, unusual pay. Zenith Foundation, 45 Mugman Street. Experimental work, highly dangerous. I locate 45 Mugman Street, which is a shabby little building in a shabby part of town, and I haul myself up 5 rickety flights to an office with a glass door.
Come in.
Is this the Zenith Foundation?
It could be.
I got a slip.
Let's have it. Fortune, huh?
Rocky Fortune.
No family?
None to speak of.
Turn around.
What for?
Because I say so.
Anything you say, pal.
Take out your wallet and toss it here.
Oh, is that kind of dodge, huh? There's only $3 in it.
Take it easy. I have to check it.
Okay, you're holding the artillery.
Let's have a look. No pictures. Home address, 55 Bleakman Street. What kind of a place?
Room and house.
Honorable discharge from the Army. 3 citations. Where?
Anzio.
Health good?
Terrible, but I ignore it.
Driver's license, chauffeur's license, hack, steamfitters union, maritime card, truckers. You're a drifter, huh?
Yeah, I've been around a lot.
How come?
I get restless. I was born that way.
You go away for a long time ever?
Yeah, 3-4 months.
So nobody would miss you particularly?
Not particularly.
You clean?
You mean jail?
I mean everything. Police record, prints, booked.
Clean.
All right. Turn around. Here's your wallet.
$1, $2, $3. Yeah, it's all there.
Okay, Fortune. You can meet the boss.
I'm not so sure I want to. Is this thing legit?
It is not only legitimate, it's top secret. Let's go.
Where?
Utah.
How's that?
That's where the job is, a ranch in the Utah desert.
Oh, well, I'll pack my stuff and notify the landlady.
You won't need the stuff. We supply the uniforms and equipment. You can write your landlady. It's better that way.
And what'll I tell her?
Tell her you're going away. You're going to go a long ways. You'll be gone for a long time. Tell her you may never come back.
Two hours later, Milton, that's the bum's name, and me are on a plane headed for Utah. I still don't know where or why I'm going or what I do when I get there, but I figure any kind of a job is better than starvation. Besides, I can always quit. I keep telling myself.
Okay, Chester, set it down.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey, that's pretty deserted. How come they got such a big house out in the middle of the desert?
The house belongs to the boss. This is where we get out. Let's go.
We head for a big house. It looks like somebody moved an old castle over from Scotland piece by piece. Out behind the castle is the biggest barn you ever saw. Only something tells me cows can't live on sand, so it must have something else inside. What really gets me, though, is the barbed wire all over the joint. We head for the main entrance.
Halt!
It's okay, Harvey.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Milton.
The boss inside?
Yeah, he's in there with the professor and his secretary.
I'll just go right in.
What a layout.
This way.
Come in. Well, Milton, I see you found a man.
Rocky Fortune, this is Colonel Sam Jones.
The Sam Jones? The man who owns half the oil wells?
All the oil wells, boy. All of them.
Oh, glad to know you.
This is Professor Von Gluck.
A pleasure, I'm sure.
And Colonel Jones' secretary, Helen, Crandall.
My pleasure.
You're from New York, aren't you?
Brooklyn.
So am I.
Isn't it a small world?
Sure. Yeah. I think before we continue our discussion, we should inform Mr. Fortune of why he was selected for the job.
By all means. Mr. Fortune, as you know, I'm a wealthy man.
So my broker tells me.
Well, about a year ago, I became interested in science fiction. You know, reading them magazines about rocket ships and men from Mars.
Dimension X.
The only thing is, Mr. Fortune, those magazines are not as far-fetched as you might think.
I'm still with you.
Much of them is devoted to genuine scientific study.
I think you're losing me now.
Well, to put the whole thing into a coyote's ear, I got to reading about the research the Army's doing on space travel.
You mean space travel?
Exactly. For example, did you know that the Army now has a whole department of space medicine? Did you know, sir, that rockets are being devised which have already gotten past the pull of the Earth's gravity?
I seem to remember a picture of some mice in a rocket. They were kind of floating upside down or something.
Exactly. Well, sir, I began corresponding with a magazine telling of my interest.
Then one day I saw an article by Professor Van Gluck here announcing a new type rocket ship he'd invented.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Go on, Colonel.
Well, to put the whole thing into Coyote's ear, I decided to devote the remainder of my life to helping develop interplanetary travel.
You just lost me.
I established, with the professor's help, the Zenith American Foundation for the Promotion of Interplanetary Travel, commonly known as ZEFIT.
ZEFIT. Mm. That's clever. Where do I fit in all this thing?
Well, I'm coming to that, son. Well, so it wasn't 6 months before we got the professor's rocket off the drawing board and into the pilot model stage. And that's what we're working on now.
I should explain that the final rocket will be some 20 stories high and will carry a crew of 212. The pilot model is only 3 stories high and carries a crew of 1.
That's you.
No, Mr. Fortune. That's you.
Yeah, well, it's been nice. I enjoyed the plane trip. You got a nice little shack here, and I'll see you around.
Just a minute, Jack. You ain't leaving till the colonel is finished.
Now, look, pal.
Now, you look.
I'm looking. And I'm staying.
Just hear me out, son.
I got no choice. Continue.
Well, the professor here assures me this model is absolutely foolproof. All you got to do is let us shoot her up to the ionosphere and fall back to Earth.
Fall?
She's equipped with chutes that open when she strikes the Earth's atmosphere.
Colonel.
And in recognition of your service...
I ain't gonna do it,
we
Colonel.
We will pay you...
I don't care how much you...
$10,000.
You pay me, I...
In cash.
When do I leave?
You'll do it.
Did you say 10 grand?
Cash.
I'll do it. Colonel, the way me and money have been separated lately, for 10 grand, I'd fly to the moon on a Roman candle.
Good boy. Professor, you've got your man.
That's it. They give me a room with a view of Salt Lake Desert and all the room service I can tolerate. I kind of feel a little tired, so I stretch out for a snooze. But I'm no longer alone. Who's that?
Shh. It's me.
What's the shh about?
I don't want them to hear me.
Who's them?
The professor and Milton.
Well, in that case, maybe you ought to shut the door. Okay, what's on your mind?
I came to warn you.
Okay, warn me.
Get away from here.
I like it here.
They'll kill you.
Yeah, I'm going to die one way or another anyway.
Please, I'm not joking.
Look, Miss Crandall, maybe you better get to the point, huh?
The rocket ship that... Shh. Somebody's coming.
Yeah. Let's make like we're necking.
Well, well.
Doesn't anybody ever bother to knock in this joint?
I see you and Miss Crandall are getting acquainted.
I was just showing her a few holes. I used to be a wrestler. Flyweight.
You don't waste much time.
I don't have much time, pal. I may be on my way to Mars in a couple of days.
The professor wants to show you the ship.
Fine. Where to?
It's out back in the barn.
We go out into the barn, which is a 3-story concrete building with what looks like a silo at one end. We go through 5 sets of electric doors, and I find out it ain't a wheat silo at all. It's a rocket ship, the same kind you see in the comic books, all shiny and streamlined. So we walk over to the colonel and the professor standing near the platform.
There she is, my boy, the colonel's lady. Named her myself.
Yeah, it's very nice. Only one thing.
Yeah?
Does it fly?
I love this boy. Son, this ship has inside it the greatest development in engine since Einstein opened the atom. She'll fly from here to eternity if we wanted to.
How about a look inside?
Well, now, I...
Absolutely verboten. I will not risk having any foreign agents steal my design.
Buster, do you remember me? I'm supposed to fly this harpoon.
When the time comes, all you will have to do is step inside. All controls are preset.
Just the same, I'd like to look around.
Absolutely verboten.
Use that before. Okay, but just remember, I might decide to quit.
Mr. Fortune, once I have introduced you to my secret designs for space equipment, it will be too late to quit. You understand?
What the professor means, boy, is once you're in on the secrets, we can't permit you to leave, so it's up to you, Mr. Fortune.
Okay, fellas, I'm in. I go back to my room to think things over. And it occurs to me that maybe I'd better get a gander at the inside of that chromium nightmare out in the barn before I really commit myself on this job. So I wait for dark and then sneak out back. There's a guard standing out outside the hangar, and I strike up a conversation with him.
Halt!
Well, hi, Emil.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Fortune.
Yeah, I left my cigarette case inside. Can I get it?
Oh, I guess it's all right. The professor's inside working on the ship.
Thanks, pal. Emil opens the doors and I go inside. The professor and Milton are inside a little glass office over a drawing board. I can hear him talking as I sneak past.
What do you think, Hans?
Another 100,000 will do it.
You think he'll go for it?
Of course he'll go for it.
Okay, I'll make out the bills of lading. What should I make it?
Titanium and platinum for the preheating coils.
Oh, you better spell it.
I'll write it for you.
Maybe we should lay off. Huh?
Nonsense.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Are the fuel supplies all ready?
I put them in the tanks this morning.
Good. We have to be careful. What was that?
Mice, probably, but sound like somebody in a hangar.
Well, you better check. We can't take a chance at this point.
Okay. Anybody out here? Anybody here? If you're out here, you better come out now or you'll be dead.
The mice they heard was me and my big feet stumbling up the ladder to the inside of the ship. I make the rest of the trip with my shoes off. But it's touch and go all the way when Milton starts to climb the ladder behind me. Now there's nothing to do but slip into the cabin of the ship, which is as black as the inside of a ballpoint pen. And I'm praying that Milton will get tired of climbing, but I hear his feet on the iron steps.
You see anything?
Nope.
Well, check the inside of the ship.
Okay. Turn on the lights.
The lights go on, and I dive into a locker marked fuel tank, don't open. I get the lid on just as Milton sticks the muzzle of his .45 into the cabin.
Anybody in here?
You see anything?
It's empty.
All right. Come on down. I'll switch off the lights.
When I hear Milton go down the steps, I strike a match to see where I'm located. I put it out in the biggest hurry since Paul Revere's ride. The fuel tank is loaded to the giblets with sticks of ordinary blasting dynamite. So I climb out and decide maybe I better have a look around, which I do. What I find is so interesting, I don't even notice it when the door of the cabin slides open again.
Okay, Fortune, get him up high.
I thought you left.
I did. But the guard mentioned that you were inside.
You came up quiet as a mouse, or should I say a rat?
What you say don't matter much, because you won't be able to talk at all pretty soon.
Ah, I see Mr. Fortune has been snooping around.
That's right, pal, and I've seen some pretty fascinating things, too.
Really?
Uh-huh. This is a real crazy rocket ship you got here, man.
In what way, Mr. Fortune?
Well, for instance, you take them bulkheads. They're the first genuine 12-ounce canvas duck bulkheads painted to look like metal I ever seen. Also, they're marked Property Room, Magnum Picture Studios Incorporated. And you take them 2-foot walls over there, solid tin. Or that phony control room with the stovepipe rocket tubes. This thing's built like a cardboard display model.
Mr. Fortune is very observing.
Ain't he?
A very unfortunate habit.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate for you characters when the colonel finds out you milked him for $5 million to build a ship out of old beer cans.
It would be if he found out, but he won't.
Sooner or later he'll poke around.
No, Mr. Fortune. You see, tomorrow morning we make our test flight.
Pal, you couldn't get this erector set off the ground with a derrick.
We aren't interested in getting it off the ground. You may have noticed the rather unusual fuel we carry, trinitrotoluene, known as TNT.
I begin to see it.
Yes. When the initial rockets go off, there will be a case of acute engine failure. The ship will go up in a cloud of dust, and Milton and I will retire to a small island with $3.5 million to try to figure out what went wrong.
Oh, brother, what a swindle this is.
It is a masterpiece, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was slated to go up in the smoke along with the ship.
Unfortunately, yes. We had to hire someone to make it convincing.
Rocket to the moon, they say. You ought to call it rocket to the morgue.
For you, Mr. Fortune, it will be exactly that. You see, you are going to make the journey as planned.
Milton jabs his persuader in my spine and marches me back to the house. I spend a quiet night staring down the muzzle of a .45. And the first thing in the morning, the professor knocks on the door, lugging what looks like 50 pounds of old inner tubes.
Milton!
Is everything ready?
I informed the colonel we're testing the ship at 8 o'clock. Here, Fortune, climb into this.
What is this?
A spacesuit. complete with two-way radio communication and oxygen. If you press this button, you will be able to communicate with whomever has the earphones for the receiving set.
That's me.
Yeah, like a walkie-talkie, huh?
Uh-huh.
Here's the receiver, Milton. All right, Mr. Fortune, into the suit.
Now, wait a minute. Is this thing guaranteed to work? A guy can suffocate inside a sack like that.
It will work as long as you will need it, Mr. Fortune. About 1 hour.
I climb into the Buck Rogers outfit, and Milton screws the aluminum helmet on my head. By the time he gets finished strapping on the lead boots and the oxygen tanks, I look like Martian Sam the Minstrel Man. Milton turns on the oxygen, and we go outside where the Colonel and Helen Crandall are waiting for us alongside a jeep.
Good morning, gentlemen. Everything ready for the big moment?
Everything is in order. We've just tested Mr. Fortune's spacesuit.
He seems agitated. What's he saying?
Turn on the two-way receiver and listen on the earphones. What is it, Mr. Fortune?
Get me out of this thing. I can't breathe.
What's he
saying? He says he's impatient to start the experiment.
That isn't what I said. Colonel, it's a fraud. They're going to blow this whole thing up.
What's he say?
He says he feels confident he'll make it all the way to the moon.
Bully for him.
Oh, you dirty rotten...
No point in wasting the batteries.
The ship is ready, gentlemen. Shall we go?
Well, now, before we get into the jeep, I think we should drink a toast. I have a small flask here.
That's a good idea.
There you are.
To the success of our noble experiment.
To that heroic gentleman who's going to make this historic flight, Mr. Rocky Fortune. Fortune! Fortune! He's driving off!
Archie, come back here. Come back, I warn you.
He's going right through the barbed wire.
So long, Milton.
Get the car after him.
See you on Mars, pal.
I gun the jeep through the barbed wire and make it with a few punches. I take off across the desert until the buggy won't go anymore. And I head for the rocks on foot, which ain't easy when you're wearing lead boots. The trouble with these spacesuits is that you can't get out of them without three mechanics and a blowtorch. Anyway, after about 20 minutes of dragging myself along, I'm surprised to contact what looks like a human being, but I can't be sure.
Easy there, Minnie. Easy, girl. Let's just settle down here and cook up some grub. Sure gets lonesome prospecting out in these rocks, huh, girl? Yes, sir. 3 months on this desert, a man's liable to start seeing things.
Hey!
What's that?
It's me!
Holy smokes, the Martians have landed. Take to the hills.
Oh, Pop, get me out of this suit.
Hey, we got to keep calm, Minnie. Maybe it's a friendly Martian.
Of course I'm friendly. Get me out of this suit.
Sure does talk funny.
Meet the Earthman. Friend. You got that? Me, Earthman. Friend.
He's fighting to my knife, Minnie. What do you suppose he wants?
Get me out of the suit before I suffocate. The oxygen's running out.
I can't understand your lingo, Mr. Martian.
I'm suffocating. Help!
Why, he's fainted, Minnie. What do you suppose is the matter with him? Well, maybe we better get him out of that there crazy suit.
The oxygen gives out, and all of a sudden the world does a quick blackout. When the lights go on inside my brain, I'm flat on my back in very familiar surroundings. Looking down on my baby blues is the ugly face of my good friend Milton. Oh, what happened?
Take it easy, pal. It's coming out of it, Prof.
It's fine.
Oh, you. Where am I now?
In the rocket ship, pal.
The prospector of the desert.
The old prospector took you out of that spacesuit just in time.
How did I get here?
When he saw you were just a man, he tied you to his mule and brought you right to the house. Convenient, huh?
Swell.
So the professor and me took you back into the ship to get you ready for the trip.
Hey, you scum.
Make sure he's tied up, Milton. I'll go down and keep the colonel cooled off.
Right.
And as soon as you get clear of the launching platform, I'll set off the chart.
I hope you don't make it, you punk.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Fortune, bon voyage.
There I am, right back in the soup. The professor goes down the iron ladder and Milton bends over to tie me up. I don't have enough strength left to lick a postage stamp, but I figure it's now or never. So I make the supreme effort.
Hold still.
I'm ticklish.
You won't be for long.
Listen, before you tie me up, one favor, huh?
Now go on.
I'll bend over. I'm too weak to shout.
What's on your mind?
This oxygen tank is on my mind.
Yeah, what about it?
I'd like to put it on your mind. Don't ask me how I did it, but somehow I managed to tip over one of those iron tanks over into Milton's head. He goes out like a sick firefly. I know I'll never leave the hangar alive if the professor can help it, so I decide to change clothes with my muscular friend Milton. It takes a couple of seconds, and I pull down the hat, take his gun, and climb down the ladder. 2 seconds later, I'm out of the barn and head for the concrete shelter where the professor and the colonel are going to watch.
Here comes Milton.
Well, we'll give him time to get clear.
I can't understand what made that boy chicken out at the last minute.
We managed to convince him to go through with it.
Colonel, don't let him do it.
Ah, nonsense, girl. This is a historic moment. Ready, Milton? He's waving his hat. Let her go, Professor. Right. Look out! Everybody all right?
I'm all right.
What happened?
The fuel tanks must have exploded.
Poor Rocky.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, ain't it a shame, though?
What?
Don't move, Herman, or I'll blast your skull.
What's the meaning of this? Fortune, why aren't you on your way to Mars?
I found out I forgot to buy a round-trip ticket, Colonel.
Sir, I demand to
just
know...
Just go over and take a look at that load of junk that this swindler just blew up inside your barn.
Junk, sir? Don't believe him.
These characters swindled you out of $5 million, Colonel. That rocket ship is nothing but paper mache and mucilage.
He's insane.
Am I? Here's a piece of metal that blew out of the barn just a minute ago. Well,
that does look like a part of the tail fin.
Yeah, on one side it looks for real, all shiny silver paint. But if you turn it over, it's the first tail fin you ever saw that says Rappaport Selected Sardines. Let's go, Professor.
What? Why, the boy's absolutely right.
I tried to tell you.
You swindling coyote, I ordered.
Save it, Colonel, save it. The government's got a place for this character. And it ain't built out of old beer cans either.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Rocky Fortune, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from March 23, 1954. And that closes this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.